During these testing times, I found the perfect thing to help me relax and practice mindfulness. Building a Lamborghini. Okay, it's not a real Lamborghini, it's a Lego Lamborghini, but still, you build a Lamborghini, you tell people, especially if it can help find joyful focus in a time when I need it most. Now, before you start, Lego isn't just for children. It's got products designed to challenge adults too, like a Lamborghini, works of art, even skylines from around the world. Now, these types of projects can really give you a well-needed break from the pressures of everyday life. I've lost myself in Lego, the whole building experience, many, many times. While I was working on the 8-speed sequential transmission of my green Lambo, everything else just melted away. They have lots of options for any experience level, so it really doesn't matter if you haven't built with Lego for a while. Search Lego Adults and find your joyful focus.
Is the equipment running? Is the equipment on, Simon?
And we're running.
We're rolling at speed.
We're at speed.
Gavin, is that good for you?
Yeah, I'm good. First positions, everyone.
Levels right?
Yep, levels good.
Okay, we're going to go for a take. Okay. Sound.
Speed.
Action.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Fang.
Radio X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 Fang podcast. I'm Johnny Vaughan. Why, over there's the Woodman.
Hello, John.
You're right, Woodman.
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
What manner of week have you... Oh, we'll have to go again. I slightly talked over him.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with
that. Go. Keep rolling, keep rolling,
just
keep rolling.
Keep going.
Yep. Just keep rolling, keep rolling.
Yeah.
Keep rolling. The Woodman's here.
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Yeah, really good. How was your week, Woodman?
I really enjoyed the week. I really did.
What did you enjoy most about the week?
Just the fun, the laughter, the silly words.
I think it was hearing. Sorry, a slight fluff. Keep rolling, John. Just keep rolling. I think it was finding out that people actually shout out some of the, I suppose, the more subtle catchphrases of the show. Particularly someone texting in to say that his son regularly shouts out the window, "There's no such thing as a Cockney doctor," which made me really laugh.
There's a nine-year-old kid
out there doing that. Also, the fact it's up north as well.
It's just fantastic, really good.
But alongside that, we also learned a mind-blowing Amazon stat. Luckily, I've got the solution. We learned things we didn't know about people we'd never met, and bombs away! The Woodman has a record-breaking combat pilot from World War I. Get ready for a grenade-dropping dame in his heroic little slot. Enjoy. Cut!
I'm happy.
They'll probably have to edit that.
Check the gate.
Radio X.
Right, Gav.
Yes.
I'm afraid something here's made me mad. Would you believe 57 Father Christmases took to paddleboards and kayaks?
What?
Off the coast of Cornwall, they raised 1,300 quid for charity.
Paddling Santas?
Yeah, they had to call off a fun run, so they did this. Can I just say yes? At what cost?
Yeah, good point.
The place for Santa is not in the water.
No, we don't need this.
There's nothing worse than seeing a wet Santa outfit. I hate it when people dress up as Santa. Yeah?
Yeah.
And there can be only one. It's confusing for kids to see a soup of Santas.
Definitely.
Kids are really confused.
Yeah, definitely.
What we need are the Santa laws.
Yes, there should be rules.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was
right.
a film out a while ago, The Santa Claus. There should be laws.
There should.
It's not like covering the whole Santa industry.
I think quite punitive laws as well.
Come down on them hard, Gav.
I think so. Otherwise, they won't understand.
Tough on Santas, tough on the causes of Santa.
Correct.
And I tell you something, the Tories are just the party to do this.
I think so.
I mean, I'm no Tory, Gav, but it seems to me that we've got the right people in charge for this.
Definitely. It's the kind of thing they can push through.
Yes, yes.
I think they'll ramp up efforts to deal with this.
Well, it could be perfect to distract the far right of the party, to crack down on Santas. I mean, I'm looking at them all laughing around the paddleboards. I mean...
You don't want to see that.
Well, no. The nice thing about them is they've given me the idea for the perfect mask. Here we are, masking up for Christmas. They should all have beards on the front.
That's a great idea.
And we should have the red hats. And I don't mind that.
Mm. But no paddleboard.
No, but Santas, for a start, in my Santa laws... If you're going to imitate Santa, you've got to be on your own anyway, else kids find that really confusing.
Definitely.
So more than one Santa in one place,
the police
need to go in, batons swinging.
Absolutely right. Yeah, you might as well throw 100 balls at a dog.
Yes.
It'll really throw you.
Yes.
Yes. I might just have a bone in each hand for Jeff. Yeah, exactly right.
It's too confusing.
But I'd like to see... I wouldn't mind seeing that. Yeah. A Santa cowering on the floor while the police went in with batons swinging.
What, being read the riot act?
Yes.
I think so.
The Santa laws. Under the Santa laws.
Being read the Santa
really
laws.
Wading in there like Indian riot police when you see them with those sort of whippy things.
Yeah, really public dressings down. Yeah.
Yes, Gav.
I think so. Maybe even judicial proceedings in Trafalgar Square.
But I'd like to see... Yes, nice, Gav. Oh, no, in a toy department.
Yeah.
And Gav, I'd like to see the Santas corralled by police with those riot shields.
Oh, yes.
And they start to tap the shield. They should have gone to Cornwall, waited for them to come out of the water, started tapping the shield like we did with the miners.
Yeah.
Really get the adrenaline going.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And then they just move forward, corral them, and then they go in. Billy club swinging.
Heavy-handed.
Yes. No, but you know what? I don't like heavy-handed policing, but in this case...
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
I found the greatest app in the history of apps. It's like a dream for me, this.
Go on, and this is to do with history, you said
yes,
earlier.
Yes, right. So, they've got a new app out. God, the Germans.
What have they got?
I love the Germans.
What have they done?
Not just for inventing cinema.
Yes.
But anyone who's ever wondered, or making Babylon Berlin, still the best made television programme in the history of television.
High quality lenses as well. They're good at that.
Great lenses, Kev. Great lenses. Well, the ones that weren't nicked by the Russians.
Microphones they're very good at as well.
Very good at microphones. Yep. Cars as well.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that the British people have this thing, I'm suddenly convinced about the Germans, there's been that needle.
Yeah.
Is because they're just better at everything we like.
And we used to be great at making stuff.
Things
we like to buy.
Yeah, they're just better at everything. We like lager. Their lager's the best. We like football. They're better at football. We like cars. They're better at making cars. They're just brilliant at everything we fail at. We just look at thinking, why? But there's one thing we can cling on to.
What?
But we're funny. Yeah, right. Okay, then. Take that to the bank. Unless, of course, you're Michael McIntyre, in which case, very good thing to do.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyone who's ever wondered what the ruins of a Roman fortress or medieval castle looked like in their original state now has help.
How?
Researchers in Germany have developed software that allows visitors, you just get your smartphone,
yeah,
you point it, and it shows you in your app
how it used to look.
Yes.
So you can so if you showed that to Stonehenge, it would just be a field.
Yeah, well, about 20 years ago, it would be, yeah. Well, no, about 100 years ago, yeah. No, Gav, there's no doubt.
Sorry.
No, Stonehenge built as a folly, but you shouldn't distract me with that.
I know,
it's without doubt built as a folly. There's no question about it. Because they only nick the stones that are, you know, well, supposedly the only ones that are missing are the ones that don't face the sun.
It's a brilliant idea, though. It really is.
Genius. It's called Argo, Augmented Archaeology. The free app was released last month and covers 110 sites in the southwestern state of Rhineland-Palatinate and Luxembourg.
Wow.
The software, whose name is inspired by the ship of Jason and the Argonauts, this is, according to David Crossland, the Times Berlin correspondent, the user walks around the building, you hold up your phone, and you can view the site in 3D as it would have looked.
It's amazing.
Gav, it's sodding genius. There's only one thing more than... And I don't mind giving away ideas, because I have about 15 good ideas a day, as my father told me I should do, and I'm never going to do anything with them.
Right.
Because I've got too many. I've got so many ideas, I've never done anything with any of them.
Mm.
But this is my idea that I'd really love. They've got all that great news footage from companies like Pathé News,
yes.
And what I'd like to do is if they can geolocate all the bits of footage.
Yeah.
And if you're walking around, you can get a beep on your phone and you can just hold your phone up, say you're in central London, and you can just look at old footage.
Scan around.
And you can scan, because it knows that someone was shot there.
Yeah.
So you stand in Piccadilly Circus and you go through and you can see old faces going past like ghosts there. It's like your little portal into the past. And there's a slider at the side so you can say, we've got footage there actually from like 1890 going back there. Or you can go, where do you want to go?
Go to the 70s.
Or go to the 70s. Yeah, right. Any footage you want.
Wow.
And it's all logged everywhere in Britain.
You can tell
using buildings, things, a lot of the tops of buildings. While the shop fronts change, you go one floor up.
It stays exactly the same. Yeah, yeah.
I think it'd be a lovely thing. If you do that, I don't ask for much, but 20% maybe, 20%
yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
Go on, please. I mean, I have sort of said it on air now.
Yeah.
So if I can prove you're listening, it's...
15th of December.
I've got the might of Global behind me. Technically, they own everything I... Anyway, I'd just love it. I really would. Just to walk around and do that. I'm fascinated with history. I love old footage. But the thing is, I don't even like old footage. It doesn't have to be particularly old footage of significant things in history. I like really everyday stuff.
Of just anything, yeah.
Yeah.
People,
if I know the show,
going,
yeah, that's the Norfolk Road down in Wandsworth.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they just show you some old footage of it. I absolutely love it. But to be able to have that as you're walking around, I reckon that'd be brilliant. And do you know what? Give life some much-needed perspective, Gavin.
Yes.
Radio X.
Do you know what? Sometimes when I'm working out, yeah?
Sure,
the wisest things anyone's ever said to me, yeah? A guy, a old friend of mine, Kurt Nugget, we used to call him, yeah? Because everything he said was, everything he did was just golden.
The Nug.
Yeah,
I remember
the Nug,
him.
Super Nug. And Kurt Nugget, yeah?
Yeah.
He once said to me, as I was really, and normally, you know, people say things, and you can bet, down my gym, it's like, ragging on asses 24/7. Everyone's always getting up in my face, ragging on my ass. We all do it to each other, yeah?
Yep.
And actually, you know why we do it?
Why?
It motivates with a capital B.
It's motivating.
Sorry, motivates with a capital D, yeah? Motivates.
Right.
Motivates.
Right.
But Kurt the Nug, yeah, Super Nug Kurt, he once said to me, and he wasn't getting up in my face. So I was doing on the decline press, doing some big weights, low reps, big weights, big gains.
Reverse flies, if I
and
remember.
And he says, he said, no, it was decline press. Don't jump in, buddy, yeah? Because that's not the system.
I'm just ragging
on
you.
Just back off. Stop ragging on me. And he said to me, got right up in my face, and he said, the hurt takes you to blackout. Let the hurt take the hurt. And he's right. And you got to watch that in life, yeah? Mm. The hurt can take you close to blackout. You got to push through that, yeah?
Right.
And that's what I want all of y'all to do out there, yeah? Or I'm a rag on your ass.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
The Smiths, Big Mouth Strikes Again, right here on Radio X. During that, incidentally, because we went in with Feeder, yeah, I started doing like guitar stuff. We started doing air guitar around the studio. Yeah. It was a bit embarrassing. I don't want to get too far into it. But sometimes we do that.
Yeah.
And then Gav did his typical Angus duck walk, which he likes
to do. You can't not do that.
Which he likes to do. So anything, we're just warming up.
Yeah.
And I said, isn't Angus a bit old to wear a school uniform? And when did he start doing that?
Well, we looked up how old we was
so
first.
So then we just said, we wanted to know actually how old Angus from AC/DC is. And Gav uncovered 7 extraordinary facts about Angus, which he got to fact 2. And then I said, stop. The punters must hear this. So, Gav.
Well, first of all, he's 65.
Okay, Angus is 65.
Which is surprising because he still does the duck walk.
Yeah.
I mean, he runs up and down sweating.
65 is not old. 65 is the new 40.
That's true.
Go on.
Okay, so fact number one, he doesn't drink alcohol at all. And more surprisingly, this isn't a reaction to being an alcoholic years ago.
Yeah.
He never has.
Isn't that amazing?
His favourite drink is chocolate milk or coffee.
Angus Young's favourite milk is his favourite drink is chocolate milk.
Yeah, and he was coffee. In a band with Bon Scott. So think on that.
Well, yeah.
And Malcolm Young.
Who died from not drinking chocolate milk in the late 70s, early 80s. What was it, 1980 or something? Anyway, Gav, that's amazing that Angus doesn't drink, because we always think rock band.
Well, of course, yeah.
Wow, next fact, I'm really engaged by this.
My favourite, he still owns the actual first Gibson SG he ever bought.
Does he use it?
He doesn't play it on tour now. He said, I've still got it, and it's my favourite guitar of all. But
why doesn't he use it?
He said he played it until, quote, it got wood rot because so much sweat and water got into it.
Wow, man.
That's amazing.
He has a guitar that started to rot just from sweat.
Well, he got it in 1970, so he must have been really young.
AC/DC, of course, established 1973. Just read the T-shirts. Gav, go on, next.
His favourite music? Jazz.
Wow!
His favourite kind of jazz artist? Louis Armstrong. Not even modern jazz, so it's old jazz.
With these jazz facts, you're really spoiling us. Gav, I'm not being funny. With these Angus facts, you're really spoiling us.
Well, here's number four.
Go on then.
His solos.
Here's number four.
Here it is.
Go on.
According to him, his solos are the easiest part of his job.
Right.
The easiest part. He says, I think the hardest thing to do is to play together with other people and do it right.
Like his brother did.
When four guys hit one note all at once. Very few people can do that.
Well, but they're tight, aren't they? They're tight, that lot.
Very psychic.
Next Angus fact, please.
He was great friends with Keith Emerson.
From Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
And do you know why?
Why?
Because Keith Emerson took him fishing in Nassau once. Because they were recording Back in Black in the Bahamas.
Wow.
And they just became great
I've got to tell you, you're going to lose Ulrich with the Emerson, Lake,
and
Palmer.
Yeah, I know,
It's one thing Ulrich aren't impressed by at all, or me, is Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
He never expected to be in a band with his brother Malcolm. Never.
Wow.
When he was growing up, he goes, in the beginning, we never used to play together, even at home.
Are those the seven facts?
There's one more.
Go on.
He never finished school. But I don't know how surprising that is. Because he was so young.
I don't think
He left at 15.
What's surprising about it? At 15?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's just being Australian. Honestly, I think schools end there. I think that's like...
That might be standard, yeah.
Okay, what I'd really like now then are just surprising facts about yourself. Just one surprising fact in a new thing in the show we're doing, which is called What You Didn't Know About Someone You Don't Know. Radio X. I've got to tell you, I just had about the most interesting 10 minutes I have ever had sitting in a radio studio as I've been looking at what I didn't know about people I don't know.
It's amazing what we didn't know.
It's amazing what I didn't know about people that I don't necessarily know. For instance, Gav, you ready for this?
Go on.
Okay, I'm going to kick in with something good here.
Go on.
Okay, you ready? And I'm going to go for this because Beaver Fipaisley has always been complaining. He texts every day.
That he doesn't get on.
And he wonders what our problem is. Beaver, do you know what I didn't know about him, though?
What?
I mean, I know that he whinges about not getting on the show.
Yeah.
He's got a wee tour that's bigger than the other one.
Wow. You're kidding.
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Go on, Gav, quickly.
My fact about myself is that I'm a spitting image of Prince Charles. That's Josh letting us know about that.
Wow. I never knew that about Josh. Okay, you ready for this?
Go on, then.
Okay. Hi, TJ and Gav. I broke my collarbone practicing kung fu karate on my 10th birthday. That's Luke from Colchester.
You're kidding.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Okay, go on, Gav. See if you can beat that one.
Well, I can beat that. Dave Darnell is telling us, as the son of a sailor, he went to 11 different schools in 12 years of schooling.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, get this.
Go on.
Damien from Hartford. I never knew this about Damien, who I don't know.
Yeah.
He's got a hairy patch the shape of Africa on his back.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. Will in New Cross. I can beat that. Will in New Cross is afraid of bananas.
Wow.
I never knew that. I literally never knew that. Okay, then. Okay. Greg Ward in Dundee. No, he's just lying.
He is.
Okay. Matt in Plymouth, yeah?
Yeah. What is he? What's up with him?
He doesn't like peas.
Wow.
How about that? How about that? Go on, Gav.
Gary says, I bet you didn't know he once saw a buck and ducklings use a zebra crossing in Reading.
Wow!
That's amazing. Okay, get this, right?
Go on.
Joe from Watford's got a webbed... Talking of ducklings...
Yeah.
Joe from Watford has a webbed hand and two webbed toes.
Wow!
How about that?
Well, Dave in Basingstoke, he's right-handed, but he eats left-handed.
Wow!
Is that true about Dave?
It's weird.
I never knew that about Dave.
It's unbelievable.
Never knew that.
You never would have thought it.
Here's a fun fact about Becky from Birmingham, and I never knew this about you, Bex, but her birthday is Christmas Day.
Wow!
That is
incredible. Also, here's something I didn't know about Jim Stalybridge, from Stalybridge.
Yeah.
Regular texter.
Yeah.
He's not as nice as he makes out.
Is that a fact?
Yes, it's a fact. Yes, absolute fact, absolute fact.
Martin in Cornwall, he managed to get a javelin in his neck in the first year of school, and he was the one throwing it.
Wow.
I can see how you could get that. How about this? This is really amazing.
Yeah.
You know Vicky from Dartford? No. You don't.
No.
You know Vicky from Dartford?
Not at all.
You didn't know, she says, that I don't know my left from my right, and I can't tell the time.
Wow.
Vic. It's not telling the time is unbelievable as well. And the left-right thing, the two together, incredible combination in someone I never met, ever.
You won't believe this about Sam in Sandy.
Go on, then.
He or she gets to walk their dogs around Sandy Heath Transmitter on a daily basis.
Wow.
Okay, get this. Do you know Stephen Luton?
No.
Okay, get this. I hate tomato sauce, but I love tomato sauce crisps.
Who'd have thought it?
Who'd have thought that is so quirky?
Wow!
You know, you think you don't know someone.
And then it turns out you don't.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Guys, I've got a problem and a solution.
What have you got?
I've got a solution.
Is this something to do with Amazon?
Gav, it's a solution.
A solution.
A solution. Right. Here's the stat.
Go on.
The equivalent of a delivery van load of Amazon plastic packaging is dumped in the ocean, rivers, and lakes every 70 minutes.
Every 70 minutes.
Yeah. Actually, do you know something? I wasn't that blown away by that. I was sort of thinking, oh, as little as that. And that's how cynical you get. You know, when you got sort of all the stats coming out. I was expecting that every minute worldwide.
Right, right.
I was thinking that's just in Britain. But, so that's the, there's the problem there. Here's my solution.
Go on.
Well, Amazon should invent the Amazon Basin, which is a special bag.
Yeah.
And all your Amazon waste...
All the packaging from your packaging, Amazon delivery.
You crush, you put that there, you put it by your bins in this Amazon Basin bag.
Yeah.
And when it's full and your delivery guy turns up, think about it, he's going out with a full delivery truck.
Yes.
He's going back with something empty. Well, it shouldn't be empty. Amazon sends it out there.
Yes.
Send it back again.
Definitely.
Send it back.
The thing is, though, can Amazon afford that?
Yes, they can. Well, I'll tell you why, because it also means they can use many of them. It also means if they devise a sticker system where you can just take the stickers off as well, then maybe they can actually reuse the boxes. They're only the same size. You need to crush them up. So in
That's
my
a
block,
very good point.
In my
yeah.
block of flats, we've just got one there. I mean, the amount of stuff going in every day. And let's face it, you know, it's like goals. When you get one, you'll get more.
And the van is travelling back anyway.
It's travelling back anyway.
So that fuel is already being used.
Right.
It's so not going to add any weight to the van. It's just volume.
The fuel's being used. It's a great PR thing from Amazon that it tidies up after itself. If you're going to call yourself Amazon, you can't be part of the problem. Not with the Amazon rainforest.
No, you can't be borrowing that.
As the central focus of all green protests ever since Sting started banging on.
Exactly.
So there's my solution. Amazon Basins, I call them. There they are. And they take their own packaging back. And that gets reused again because most of the time I've just got intact boxes that I'm smashing up.
Why would such a simple, obvious idea not be done?
Yeah, they're making loads of money. They're going to save money on all the fresh packaging they've got. Actually, it's easier just to create it, though.
Well, and they could design more packaging that works with that, could they?
Right.
Really easily.
Now you're talking to me. Run a leg.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan.
Thank you so much for all your amazingly interesting facts. Sometimes, Gav, like you said, you know, you think you know people.
You think you don't know someone and you
and
just...
it turns out you don't know.
You really don't.
Whatever, yeah. There's something in there that's true. But anyway, thank you so much. Particularly to Gavin of West Bromwich, who grows his own potatoes. I never knew that.
Never knew that.
Here's something you never knew about Gavin's hero today. Every single day, Gav has a hero. But today... it's a woman. Go on, Gav, tell us about
Okay, today's hero, Johnny, is Marie Marvin.
Tell us about Marie Marvin.
Her nickname was La Fiancée du Danger.
The fiancée of
danger.
I get it, Gav. I was just joking.
She was born in 1875 in France. Her dad was a billiards and swimming...
Sorry, could you translate that again for
us? Oh, stop it. Sorry. She was born in 1875 in France. Her dad was a billiards and swimming champion.
Hey.
By 4 years old, she could swim 4 kilometres in one session.
I wonder if my great-granddad knew her, Milton.
Her dad used to train her, possibly.
Because he was the British billiards champion. So they might have had a tournament. And there's a connection. I've already connected with this hero.
By 15, she'd canoed 400 kilometres from Nancy to Koblenz in Germany. 15 years old, right?
I hate canoeing.
She became a world-class athlete. She won gold medals in 08, 09, 1908, 1909 and 1910 in swimming, fencing, rifle shooting, skiing, skating and sledding, right?
All in the pool.
She was also the first woman...
That's one. Back then, it was one event, right, Gav? You had to smash the ice, get in there, and then fire. Yeah, right.
She was also the first woman to climb most of the major alpine peaks. In the 1900s, during all of this, she got into ballooning. And in the 1910s, she got into fixed-wing flying. She was the third woman ever to get a pilot's license, and she set the first aviation records for women for time aloft and distance flown. Then she started designing air ambulances just ahead of the war for the French government. Yep. In World War I, she served on the front line dressed as a man with one of the officers going along with it, a friend of hers.
Wow.
But she got found out and sent home. So she went to the Italian front and worked as a nurse.
What is her problem?
Then in 1915, she became the first ever woman to fly a combat mission because she was a pilot, obviously. She volunteered to fly bombing missions over German-held territory in Metz, where Germany, France and Luxembourg meet.
Never trust a woman in a bomber.
She was given the Croix de Guerre. This is the days when bombing from aircraft was basically hoying grenades out of the side of a plane.
You just used to hold them out and just drop them. But I wouldn't have ever got involved with someone like that.
Between wars, she was a medical officer with the French forces in North Africa, where she developed skis for planes to land on sand.
Wow.
During World War II, she was a Red Cross nurse helping wounded
when you say developed skis, I mean, it's just a ski, isn't
it? Well, she designed it. Like, she designed the air ambulances previously.
Oh, okay, okay.
In World War II, she worked as a nurse in the Red Cross for wounded aviators and then fought in the resistance in France, for which she was decorated after the war.
Yeah.
She died in 1963, at age 88, and in France, she has streets, gymnasiums, stamps, buildings, plaques, you name it, the lot, named after her.
Wait a second.
She got the Légion d'honneur, the Médaille de la Résistance, the Croix de Guerre.
Wait a second, Gav. Everything. Forget all that, Gav.
Yeah.
She had gyms named after her.
Gymnasia.
I'd love to have a gym named
Wouldn't
after
you
her.
Just? Oh, and she also worked as a journalist, so she was probably
a spy. Gav, you had me at the gym thing. God. I can't. Can't you see I'm not getting through that? She had gyms named after her.
She worked out.
Oh man, that's exciting.
Marie Marvin, la fiancée du danger.
Marie Marvin, join on 4 till 7 thing. Boy, are we saluting you.
Radio X.
Here is the forecast for Christmas. Right.
Go on.
Forecasters are not yet ready to bet on a white Christmas. And that tells you everything, right? Mm. All the technology.
They're still not ready.
They've got so much weather gathering equipment and data prediction stuff out there.
Modelling software, yeah.
They cannot tell us. Now, I did an award-winning programme about this years ago on Radio 4 when I won a Science Writers Award. I don't want to bang on about it, but I did. £2,000 cash. Much better than any trophy I've ever picked up. Honestly, it's nothing like an actual cash award. Otherwise, you walk away with another worthless bit of perspex.
Yeah.
Sort of chunky perspex. Oh, great. That's great, isn't it? But cash. Just an envelope.
Lovely.
Anyway, and it was, if you're so smart, why can't you just tell me if I can have a barbecue this weekend when it's a Monday?
Yeah.
And the answer was, I went to the European Meteorological Centre. Mm. At the time, I think it was just outside Reading, but obviously it won't be there anymore. Mm. But you don't realise that Britain, like with time, Britain is a weather superpower.
Okay.
We really got in there early because our navy spread around. We're a weather gathering superpower. So, the problem is, it's almost like a fence theory. The more palings you've got on a fence, the more fences, the more posts you've got, the more gaps.
Right. Even if it's covering the same distance.
Right, the more gaps you've got. So you've got the same distance, but the more things you've got, the more gaps. The more things you've got. So it's the same with weather in a weird way, is that the more sources of information you've got,
yeah,
the more things you've got to correlate. You're actually just adding to the chaos. Because,
more variables, in a way.
Because still, weather makes no sense. You've just got more stats telling you it doesn't make sense, except afterwards. Rather like most algorithms, you know, they can predict the future based on the past. But weather ain't like that.
Yeah. Wow.
It's so chaotic that it reinvents itself all the time. It's really hard to spot patterns because we're looking at such a tiny bit of history,
right,
which, of course, signed the climate, the anti-climate,
yes,
the global warming brigade,
yeah,
really pick on.
Yes.
Well, no, in the old days, used to have winters that the Thames would freeze over.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those ones they really go to. But anyway, so forecasters cannot tell you whether you bet on a white Christmas yet. But at the moment, they're saying there's going to be cold, dry, sunny mornings, which I hate, because if I'm hungover, my bed's right by a south-facing bit of glass there, and it heats up. It's like a radiator. I don't know why someone hasn't thought up the window radiator idea, I guess, because when the sun's there, it'd be useless.
Yeah.
It'd be absolutely useless. But why is it, when I'm hungover, it's always a bright, sunny morning?
It's a greenhouse in your bedroom.
It's ridiculous. It's a greenhouse. Why can't it be that every time you have a bit of a big night, you know it's going to be a dreary morning?
All blowy and drizzly, yeah.
If it's one way you can bring on a bright, sunny morning, have a drinky the night before.
Yeah.
Anyway, as dry and bright conditions give way to rain and milder weather, floods could follow, I'm afraid, in the new year, as the ground has little capacity to absorb more rain. That, of course, is the problem of bright sunshine and things getting hotter. This is especially in the southeast. Sorry, guys.
Right.
Kent's going to get it.
Is it? Again?
Yeah, always. I'm not sure
Scotland
what.
Scotland and Kent are usually just really get the weather right in the face.
Gav, I don't need expansion.
Mm.
I just need the phrase, Kent's going to get it. Okay. That's all I want them to remember.
Okay.
There is twice the usual chance of a wet winter, but the likelihood and extent of flooding, at the moment, unclear. What is clear? Kent's going to get it.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
In case you forgot, we have a pet town this week.
Mm.
We haven't mentioned it. We haven't given it the oxygen of publicity it needs. But the pet town is Prestwich.
Yeah.
And it's well, we're going to find out all about it from Yusra, who's now on the line. She lives there. Hello, Yusra. How are you?
Hi, hi, Johnny. You okay? I'm the Prestwich correspondent.
Hello, Prestwich correspondent. I like that.
I like that too. It's so old school.
We can go to Prestwich now, where our correspondent is there. Yusra, tell me, what are the scenes there this evening? What are the scenes?
Well,
there this
evening? It's a little bit cold, but that's granted. You take that. I mean, that's a given, really.
Okay.
For Manchester, things like Prestwich. Well, is he? What?
I'm going to stop you there. What's the difference between Prestwich and Manchester? Then, is it?
Prestwich is in Manchester.
But it's
part of the borough of Bury.
Okay.
Okay. So that's why it's. You know, it's still M25. It's still an M postcode.
Okay.
So I would say it's Manchester.
3 miles north of Manchester city centre.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's not far from the city centre.
Now we all know where we are. Okay, what's great about Prestwich?
Well, so you've got Heaton Park. So you've got Oasis that performed there in 2009. I know there's lots of Oasis fans. The first, I know it's not this radio station, but the first big weekend performance in 2003, that was in Prestwich. And they didn't have tickets back then. People just turned up and it was carnage.
Wow.
So the late Victoria Wood, she's from Bury, the famous people. You've got Danny Boyle from Bury, Ralph Little.
Is Danny Boyle from Bury?
Is he? Danny Boyle's
from Prestwich. Oh, I really like him. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
I love Slumdog Millionaire. Yeah. I love it.
Have you seen him? Is he ever wandering around there? Is he?
No, but I did hear that there was a sighting at Tesco. There's Victoria Beckham shopping there before she was like massively famous.
Right.
She was still just seeing David Beckham at the time, but I heard that she shopped in the Tesco at Prestwich.
Okay, and what do you think? Do you know what she was buying there?
No, I was too young back then.
Because I'm going to tell you, I'll be frank, I can't imagine her in a Tesco.
No.
That sounds like one of the sort of questions we get in the Pet Town quiz, and it gets an emphatic false.
I think it was before online shopping. Everyone had to do it somehow.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But nicely explained. I like the way you're actually looking for a reason she could possibly be in there. Remember, John, this was before online shopping. Thank you very much. So, Yusra, if we want to go out to eat, now I know within Manchester, I've been to the Curry, is it the Curry Mile or something they call it?
Yeah, the Curry Mile.
Yeah, I've been to the Curry Mile. Fantastic. It is awesome.
It's ridiculous.
The trouble is you go to one, it's delicious, and you sort of think, well, unfortunately, that's probably me done now for a week, so you don't,
because you would
like to just go along and do the lot. Where's good in Prestwich? What's the best curry house there? What would you say?
Right. So the good thing about Prestwich is really multicultural. So if you want kosher food, you go to Social Square, street food, that's a new one.
Okay.
Halal food, you go to Yara.
Okay.
Okay. If you want Chinese, China Palace. So the family who own China Palace, they opened up towers, and that's for sitting down if you don't want a takeaway.
Okay.
And there's a fish and chips called Armstrong's. So they've got four tills there. I mean, is that even normal for a fish and chips?
They've got four tills.
You
got four tills. You tell people.
They got four tills at Armstrong's.
Four tills at Armstrong's. Four tills at Armstrong's. Tell me about the. So is there a kosher deli then? Is there?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my friends has opened it up. It's Social Square, it's street food, kosher food, it's called.
Right. Is it yum? Is it yum?
Yeah, it would be. It would be if my friend owns it. It is.
Okay.
And then, I mean, I'm trying to plug local businesses.
No, you. And I tell you what, you're not trying to. You're not trying to. You are.
I'm starving.
I'm absolutely starving. I'm really, all I'm thinking about is ripping up to Harry Morgan's on a Friday and having some decent chicken soup.
It's really
got me in the mood with some potato latke with a bit of. Go on.
I like Easter's East. I don't know if you've been in Manchester Centre. There's Easter's East, but there's another branch just outside of Prestwich in Whitefield.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, we're not going outside Prestwich, love. Let's keep plugging.
Outside.
Keep it in the family, love.
Keep it in the family.
Keep it in the family.
Right.
Okay.
Dentist, if you want a dentist, 406 Dental in Prestwich. I'm a dentist myself.
I was going to say, are you a dentist? I only say it because no one's ever plugged a dentist before. Well,
I don't work in Prestwich, but I do want to say hello to my team at work, especially my nurse, Dorothy Lynch.
Okay.
I don't work in Prestwich, though, but we have to keep it in Prestwich.
We've got to keep it in Prestwich. You can't start plugging things within the greater Manchester.
One more in Prestwich. Sorry. hair and nail studio, the Colour Studio. That's on Bury Old Road.
Okay,
nice, yes.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, well, listen.
What about this church with the huge tower, St Mary's?
St Mary's. Well, I'm not familiar with the church, but I am familiar with the park.
Gav. We don't give churches a plug on
good
the show.
Good point, but you should. Well, see the church.
No, we haven't got to the place in the show. If you want to do that, Gav? Sorry, hang on a second.
I'll tell you something.
Yusra, hang on a second, Gav. You want to do that? Naff off to Classic FM. All right, we don't plug churches here. Sorry, Yusra, carry on.
Coronation Street has been filmed a few times in Prestwick.
Okay, stop it. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I got those shows
so
are just
like it.
Those
okay,
shows
fine.
Are designed to keep us down and show us some just misery. Just a lower expectation. It's part of a government plan. That and EastEnders. Give up hope, all ye who enter here. Although Coronation Street, a bit cheery, and I used to be into it. Have you got something about you that we don't know?
Yeah, so I've been on The Weakest Link. That's something like an icebreaker that I would say.
Wow,
that's
wow.
I didn't know that.
Were you The Weakest Link?
No, I was fifth, but I beat a medic and that's nice. All that matters.
Do you know what? Really nice to meet you. Now, if you're listening, sorry, as you're listening, because you are listening, anyone who's attempting to be, not you, Yusra, although we'll say goodbye to you in a second, that's how I want Pet Town correspondents, all right?
Yes, fully informed.
Wow, what an advert for press, which you were. Lovely to meet you. You take care, Yusra.
So
happy
much.
Christmas. Have a
Thank
great weekend.
You.
Bye.
Brunch isn't a time of day. It's any time, any place. And Cadbury Brunch Bar is the delicious companion, packed full of tasty ingredients and dipped in just the right amount of Cadbury milk chocolate. So you can take back your time and do anything you want with it. Call a friend, take a walk, read a book, listen to a song, actually enjoy a cup of tea. Take a proper breather. Take a moment for yourself. Cadbury Brunch Bar. Whenever and wherever you need a proper break. Brunch.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Gav, here's something I never realised, okay?
What?
Do you know, at the moment, in recent years, the country's been... This is according to an article in the Times I read today.
Mm.
In recent years, the country's been in the grip of a face fuzz revolution.
Right.
I decided I'm not having a shave at all during lockdown. I'm just trimming it. You're a beardy man.
Yeah.
Big size of beardy man. Little siren man's clean shave, which is how you should be, really.
Sure.
In a sign we may have reached peak beard, a study has shown that commerce is finally accepting facial hair and that salesmen who grow a beard are more likely to be successful.
Really?
Well, I want to know
it's taken a while, isn't
it? How many salesmen meet punters these days?
Yeah, that's a point.
Which salesman?
Yeah, which? There's no showrooms.
Yeah, right.
There's no...
But I'd never buy anything from someone with a beard, ever.
Wouldn't you?
No, because what are they covering up? You and Big Si. No, but that's what it means, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not selling you anything.
No, but you're covering most of your face. It's obviously what a beard is. It's half a mask.
Yes, it is.
You know, you wear one of those Peaky Blinders hats with a beard and then sunglasses.
You might as well just wear
one of those big, long African wooden masks like I was recommending the Queen wears for Christmas speeches.
Or Groucho Marx comedy specs with the nose and
one of those rubber Richard Nixon hats. I mean, masks. It's just ridiculous, Gav. No.
No, it's most irregular.
No, Gav, the mark of a man is to have a really good clean shave with no shaving rash. In the old days, no one would ever get employed with a shaving rash because it's a sign of a heavy drinker.
Do you think?
Yeah, shake your hands.
Really?
I wouldn't employ someone with a shaving rash. Mm. Definitely not.
Yeah, it's worth thinking on.
But then again, I've never employed anyone in my life. I've never been in a position of responsibility, except very briefly at school, I was head chair orderly, which before I was appointed head chair orderly at the age of 12, it was a punishment.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, you had to set out all the chairs.
They sold it to you as a promotion?
Yeah, you had to collect up all the chairs after assembly. Because I was doing it so regularly, they said, we may as well, he's got so good at it, him and that other kid, they put us in charge of all chairs.
Radio X.
Get this, guys.
Go on.
In London, ever since they filmed, well, supposedly, a film called The African Queen, which featured Humphrey Bogart and Audrey Hepburn. Mm.
Catherine Hepburn?
Catherine Hepburn, who incidentally won an Oscar four times. She won four Oscars, which is extraordinary. But that was the only film Humphrey Bogart won an Oscar for.
Okay.
And they filmed it at Shepperton Studios and then imported vast amounts of parakeets. This is the sort of apocryphal story anyway.
Yes.
And since then, they've been breeding right all over where I am in South London, right down to Roehampton, all down sort of Clapham, round where Gav is. There's loads and loads of green parakeets in the sky.
Loads of them.
Now, get this, right? This just says this in the Times today. Most feral parakeets live on the southwestern edge of London, but some have moved into St. James's. Yeah, which is right here in the West End, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, home to smart boutiques and galleries.
What?
What are they trying to say? That, well, there isn't the culture down in Southwest London. they've left South London. I've got to have... Well, like, it's all like Surrey women.
Parakeet social mobility.
No, but this is ridiculous. What are they saying? This is Darwinian.
Really,
far from just the survival of the fittest, is actually it's new aspirational Darwinism.
The smarter parakeet.
Since I've moved to the West End, I'm fat. Bye. There's better shops. I don't know. Little galleries. They're all nouveau riche down there. Pieces of Chanel. Ridiculous. How's it ridiculous?
This is Radio X.
So, I read something positive about clowns, and instantly I was sceptical.
I doubt it. Come on, what did you read?
I read, if laughter is the best medicine, you guessed it.
Right.
They reckon now, according to an article in the Times, scientists have found that children and teenagers receiving treatment for some not good conditions at all improve physically and emotionally after interacting with clown doctors.
Clown doctors?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
No, but there's clowns who pretend to be doctors.
Oh, I see,
and they've got
right.
This unusual crowd, like look like drama students with the multicoloured hair
right.
And the sort of red noses and stuff.
Yeah.
The children show reduction in stress, fatigue, pain and distress. Clown doctors play with the hierarchy of hospitals. Unlike doctors who do things to the children, the clowns are there for the children. They're there to play if the child wants. The red nose is a symbol of, I'm here to play with you, I'm here for you.
Right.
Which I fully get, but my point is...
Yeah.
What other characters do they test it with?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. If you test it with, all you gave them was the alternative of a clown.
That's right, yes. I mean, laughter is laughter,
yeah,
isn't
laughter
it?
Yeah, laughter is laughter, yeah, but you didn't... You should have shown them like a Dickensian villain.
Definitely.
And a selection of pantomime characters, you know? I'm just saying, just to sort of say, well, clowns did it, that just breaks it up.
Yes, you need an evil old aunt in a huge dress.
Now you're talking to me, or just like Tinky Winky and the gang coming in there, or...
Yeah.
I don't know, Peppa Pig, I bet, would cheer them up.
Oh, yes.
They love Peppa Pig.
Defo. Hand puppets.
Or the big bug band. Yeah, but just to say that clowns do it, for a while I was just looking at it thinking there must be something wrong. There must be. No one likes clowns any more than children like donkey rides.
That's right.
These are things just everyone thinks that in the Daily Mail.
Everyone thinks everyone else likes them.
Yeah, but no one actually does.
No.
No one does. No one likes donkey rides. No one.
They don't.
No one. Not even the people running them. They know the kids hate it.
They do.
They know it's a once in a lifetime thing.
Everyone's lying.
Can we go on donkeys? There's no donkeys. No child's ever said that. They go on there, you just see the child cries. And actually, like camel rides when you go to Dubai or somewhere, everyone gets off feeling quite seasick.
Definitely. Yes.
Yes.
If not been bitten.
Yes. Yes. Mauled by donkeys.
By a donkey, yeah. You don't want to be the mauled. Don't be mauled.
Anyway, you know, Mexico, they're massive on clowns, yeah?
Are they?
Yeah, I was in a...
I knew they liked wrestlers.
No, they just love clowns. Well, then I don't know if anyone's checked up.
Right.
There are clowns there.
Yeah.
And I was once in a restaurant with my daughter in Mexico, and there was a clown going around, but guess what?
What?
It's wearing full combat gear.
What?
And then a clown mask, and then a plastic-like machine gun.
No, but that's actually terrifying.
I'm thinking, I can't tell you guys, I mean, if you're finding this funny, I'm terrified. I've literally...
Well, that's the kind of disguise a hitman would wear.
Yeah, but Gav, there hasn't been a day since when I haven't woken up naked and shivering.
Sure.
With that on my mind.
Oh, of course, yeah, I don't blame you.
Now, is that good for the kids? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Who's going to tell that to the parents?
No, who's going to tell that to parents? Give us a call, please, 83936. Who's going to tell that to my listeners on the A3 stuck in traffic? I don't think so, Minister.
Parents are struggling enough as it is, John.
No, it's time we had the Clown Act.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the only clown act I want is an act of Parliament banning them.
Definitely
banning them.
Yeah, illegal. Send it underground
with the threat of jail.
Yeah, it'll lead to unlicensed clowning though.
Yes, and also one strike and you're out because it's so premeditated, isn't it? It's so premeditated. The big shoes.
Yes. The
yes.
Red nose.
Yes. Anyway, just try an alternative, then come back to us. All right.
Radio X, Johnny Vaughan.
Incidentally, lovely texting.
Yeah. From Chris, this
from
is.
From Chris, go on, Gav, you tell him.
TJ and Woodman, word of advice when arguing with your other halves, do not drop solution into an argument. It just fans the flames of anger.
Yeah, yeah. Occasionally we do get people texting and saying how they've used material from the show in domestic situations, in arguments and things, and it hasn't helped things at all.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it really hasn't.
They've increased, in fact, the aggravation with their partner by going, okay, sure.
Or the worst one, Johnny, if you're told I love you by your partner and you respond with cheers.
Yeah, I got that off you and I did that. God, it goes down badly, man. Well,
one of our listeners tweeted me and he said the light came back on.
I did it with a beer.
Did you?
Yeah. I'll sit there in front of the sofa. Cheers. Oh, cheers. I said it. Cheers. Like, yeah. God, it went down not so good. Badly. Yeah. But I suddenly realised, let's discuss this.
Yeah.
But I suddenly realised that I love you is normally has a bracketed question mark after.
Well, it is a half of a question.
It's a question, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's half of a tennis rally.
Yes, yeah. try not to say anything after. So I go, I love you. And you just go,
cheers.
Oh, thanks. But, you know, but it means it's like, I love you, question mark.
It does, yeah. And you're better.
And the answer is,
I love you too.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
But I tell you something, you can really cause trouble with a cheers. Oh, cheers. Or, oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah. No, you mean the world to me. Saying anything that's different.
Anything other than that.
TJ, my missus went at me for something the other night, so I told her to stop ragging on my ass, yeah? My God, it went down badly. In fact, her exact words were, what on earth do you do all day that makes you come out with... like that. Paul in Doncaster is still claiming a moral victory. Good man. Big Phil. Big Phil says, that's Philippa, presumably, my favourite phrase when having an argument or altercation, what are you getting all emotional for?
Oh my God.
Try it. Works a charm.
that's fighting talk, that is.
That's lovely, that, isn't it? It's really nice. Wife sat with me watching the football the other day. I said, I love you. She said, I love you too. To which I responded, oh, I was talking to Declan Rice. Wasn't amused. It's lovely. The other things, someone's just reminded us, Paul says, TJ, you forgot the all important, darling, the children. Oh, God. But what about the children, darling?
Darling,
the children.
The children.
The children. The children. Another one that someone's using a lot is, this is most unorthodox, one of our other favourite.
That's Ben, yeah.
Don't live by our show catchphrases. They're just there for fun. They're not there for real life situations.
Phil in Newport and his wife do it to each other. They say cheers whenever the other says, I love you.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's
really even-handed good. In that household.
That's really good. Radio X. Joe, yeah. I think I've got the solution. To all the Brexit worries.
Oh, yeah? What have you got?
Which you'll be pleased about. I've sold it. So if anyone from the government's listening, solution's here.
Go on.
Pet owners get a treat. EU is going to relax travel curbs. Pet owners will find it easy to take their cats, dogs, ferrets to Europe and vice versa. There's a solution.
Ferrets,
there.
Did you say?
Yeah, ferrets. Any pets?
Okay, go on.
Well, it's my pet herd of cows, isn't it? That's my pet bar of chocolate.
It's my pet lorry load of
it's
computer parts.
It's my pet lorry load of computer parts. Yeah, no, they're pets. They comfort me. That'd be fantastic, Gav.
It's 80,000 of my favourite chickens.
Yes, exactly.
All right. In one lorry. Right.
What do you mean? That's my pet lorry load of beans.
They're my comfort chickens.
You don't see, I literally get so uncomfortable when I go to the supermarket without my comfort Toblerone. Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing. Do you know why I'm really overexcited?
Why?
Because every Saturday between 11 and 1 on the kickabout, incidentally, this is the 4-7 thing, absolutely live on your Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan, that's Gavin Woods. Over there's little Si, that's Big Si. Los Monsters meet, get up! Mexican handbags, those observations of everyday life. You take the old, you add a place and an action and or object. We'll publish the Mexican lexicon online soon at radiox.co.uk. Meantime, let's pull that old lever and spin the reels on the Mexican bandit for this week's Mexican handbag. German. Locksmith. Okay, can I just say?
The old German locksmith.
Yes. Shall I just tell you what I think that is?
What is it?
any member of any German football team that beats us in a penalty shootout every single time. The next guy steps up, the old German locks, because they unlock.
They do.
They unlock whatever goal is in front of them. Go on. It's a German stepping up to take a penalty is what it is. The okay, old German yeah. locksmith. That. Go on, Gav, what you
I
got?
Think it's either the pound coin trolley wrangler at the supermarket.
Yes.
Or it's that battering tool that the special forces use to gain entry into a building.
Oh, yeah. Or the FBI.
Yeah. Yeah, or police. Right. Yeah.
Anyone. That's the old
it's like a metal tube with two handles on it.
So you say, says, get the old German locksmith up here. I tell you what, there's a few old Bill listening to this show. If you're listening, yeah. I know there's a lot of you in sort of vans around London at the moment, especially the Special Tactical Support Group
sure.
or whatever the
yeah,
SPG
especially
are
them. Yeah,
these
yeah.
days. Yeah. That lot.
Yeah.
Who just look like they're spoiling for action. They look like Vikings about to jump ashore.
Ready to go, Sarge.
Yeah, like Vikings. I think they should give that mob, the territorial support group, they should give them horned helmets.
Definitely.
Just a normal police helmet with horns on it, with fur. And also those furry leg warmers.
Definitely the
only
leg warmers.
At Christmas.
Defo. Absolutely right.
Yeah. Or Kevlar Santa hats.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Fantastic. Right, Gav, here's my last one. Are you ready?
Go on.
Just an estate agent.
The old German locksmith.
Yes, because they can
open
any lock.
Doors all
they can
day
just open
long.
Lock. Yeah. They can just do yeah. it. Anyway, 83936. Please. Oh, this is really good. This is a brilliant one. And this is really what's made me happy is I as soon as that German thing came up, I'm really hoping we get none of the old stereotypes, please.
Yeah, we don't need the obvious
We're a very
ones,
progressive
yeah.
looking show.
That's right, yeah.
We must look forward as indeed the Germans do. Unfortunately, yes. It's the British disease to spend its life just looking backwards.
That's right.
The Germans have looked back, faced their shame, and remained the most progressive nation in Europe.
Yeah.
How about this? The old German locksmith, this is genius, Gav.
Go on.
Someone who can open a can without spraying it everywhere. Badger of Ipswich, thank you so
it's a
much.
Beauty.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Thank you so much for all your old Mexican handbags. This week we span the reels of the old Mexican bandit. Came up with the old German locksmith superb bumper crop. Bumper crop. It feels like that thing in Trading Places where they reveal the frozen orange juice report.
Prices, yeah.
The prices, yeah. What the futures are looking like. This is good today. Get ready. Jim in Bexley Heath. The old German locksmith is the single family member relied upon every year to unravel the Christmas tree lights. Genius. Thank you so much for that. Gav.
Okay, so the old German locksmith, according to Alex in Tamworth, is anyone who can open a bonnet on any car. First time, first go, without having to fiddle to find the latch.
That's Alex. Also, he says, TJ baby, much love to your abs and glutes. But you left that out, didn't you, Gav?
I did, yeah.
See,
yeah.
Jealous, it's pathetic. Hi, just... chaps. The old German locksmith, the mate that's always able to open a beer bottle with his teeth when nobody has a bottle opener. Absolute genius. Gav, next.
Mark in Kent says, the old German locksmith Smith is the big ring of keys security guards have.
Oh man, or amusement arcades in yeah, the old yeah. days. Old German locksmith, this is so good. Thank you very much for this. No name on this, but a good bit of work this.
Yeah.
Good looking is the good looking lass in your friendship group who, without whom, you wouldn't be able to get into any bars in Leeds on a Saturday night.
That was from Johnny.
That's from Johnny in Leeds, you know. Gav, next one up, please.
Britt in Coventry says
Britt
says it's the old boy at Oktoberfest. Who puts you in a headlock and knuckles your head till you tap out.
That's very good. That's very good. Hello, Johnny and Gav, the old German locksmith, your mate who manages to get the pub to stay open for an extra round of drinks after they've already called last orders. James and Spalding, happier days, my friend, happier days. Gav.
Fantastic. No name. The old German locksmith is the guy who helpfully points out that the door is pull to open, not push.
Because they always said, and I'm
always.
Not being, this isn't a stereotype, yeah. Go, yeah, you've got to, yeah. You have to pull it. They always send that slightly dry. Here's a beauty, the old German locksmith, the sausage sandwich that releases you from your near-death hangover. Yes, Darren and Becky in Newcastle.
That is a beauty.
Really strong work. Really strong. The old German locksmith, that fellow with an unfeasible amount. Oh, sorry, this is another unfeasible amount of keys dangling from a long chain attached to his jeans. They used to work at amusement arcades. I'm not
they
sure what
did,
happened
yeah.
anymore. Gav, go on.
Jack and Kieran say that the old German locksmith is a clever German shepherd dog that can open doors.
Genius. The old German shepherd. The old German locksmith. Mind you, the old German shepherd. That's next week's. Well, we can't control it.
Yeah.
The old German locksmith. A combination lock with the combination set to 1966. Thanks. Get in there. Darren from Plymouth. Guilty. What you got, Gav?
Ben in Bury St Edmunds says, the old German locksmith is what you become when using a pub toilet cubicle which has no discernible method of locking the door.
Yes.
So you look for some kind of Martin's hot tap solution.
That's really good. That's Ben in Bury St Edmunds. Thank you, Ben. Brilliant. Evening, the Tej and Gav. Hi. The old German locksmith. Any child was more tech savvy than the parent and sorts out any phone, laptop or TV issue in moments. He's just put up, Ben of Deptford's just put, sigh, pass it here, Dad. Give it here, Dad. Thanks. Three more, go on.
John in Bexley says the old German locksmith is the person who can open their front door with six bags of groceries in each hand.
It's a miracle. Here's one for you. Someone well under the age of 18 who gets into all the pubs and clubs with no ID. They just get through there like a German locksmith. That's Josh in Manchester. Thank you so much. For all your... It's just genius, Kev.
Fantastic.
Someone also says, Brian in Baston, the old German locksmith, anyone who can undo a bra one-handed.
Oh, God.
Thank you very much for that. Radio X. Johnny, there are never any swimming pool parties for adults. I want an adult pool club with a sound system bouncing industrial EDM off every surface.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't want that?
Sorry, did you text that in, or somehow has this computer become part of my brain? thank you so much for all your texts. I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is the 4 till 7 thing, absolutely live on Radio X. That was texted to me because someone in Soho, a hairdresser's, they were found to have 100 customers dancing in the basement and breaking all rules, and we shouldn't really laugh. I tell you what will make us a bit more straight-faced and perhaps focus us, the Woodman with a hero. Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, absolutely no exception. It's not one of the special days in that it's not a raptor or a crazy lame creature. It's an actual real-life hero, although still alive?
No.
A dead hero.
Yeah,
it's someone
that's
dead.
Right.
But they were real-life, if you see what I mean.
They were. So the hero today, Johnny, well, do you remember I had a previous hero called called Roy Bates, who started the North Sea Seafort Sealand Micronation. Do you remember that?
Gav, I still read about that thing the whole time because they're up to lots of stuff at the moment.
It's still going on.
Yeah, because there's no social distancing there and it's COVID free. So it's a free for all between the three of them.
So today's hero, Johnny, is the Italian version, which I had never heard this story, but there's a new Netflix reenactment of it.
Is there?
Yeah. So I'm going to watch it. I think it's out already.
Based on a true story.
So the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Giorgio Rossa. He was born in 1925. He lived till 2017. And he was nicknamed the Prince of Anarchists.
Oh, man.
Because in 1967, he was an engineer and he was from Bologna, which is northeast, near the northeast coast of Italy. He decided he wanted his own micronation, his own republic, away from the constraints of Italian law. So he figured out what the territorial water margin was off the coast of Italy.
What is it?
It was six miles or something like
all?
That at the time. But he's he instead of finding one of these platforms like Roy Bates did, he built one because he was an engineer. So he built 9 steel pylons on top of which he put a 400 square meter concrete platform.
This is the way forward, Gav, I think.
In the Adriatic Sea, 7 miles off the coast of Rimini, just between Italy and Croatia, up the north bit of the boot.
Yeah.
By May 68, he'd completed the structure and he declared the Republic of Rose Island an independent micronation state, complete with its own government, currency, which they didn't get around to minting.
No.
Currency, post office, it had stamps, it had a restaurant, a bar, a nightclub, and a souvenir shop.
Yeah, I'd like to see all that.
So the Italian government obviously hated it.
Yes.
This was peak anti-Vietnam, May 68, Paris protests, hippie time. So the Italian people loved the idea.
Yeah.
But they didn't like it because they were accusing him of avoiding tax.
So what happened? Which he was. But what happened? What happened? That's the Italian national, the real Italian national sport.
Well, exactly. Well, first of all, they started accusing him of drug smuggling and hiding Russian submarines. The government got really involved to try and, do him down a
bit.
They
just threw the Russian bit in, didn't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So within 55 days, the military arrived.
Did they?
And booted him off, yeah. And
National Service there back then.
The Carabinieri arrived first, and then the military. And by the February, after the June that he'd started living, people were going there. Young Italians were sailing out there and having parties on there.
Yeah, I bet they were.
Of course they were. And they blew it up with dynamite the February. Yeah, really mean-spirited.
That's really mean. But anyone should be allowed to build a...
Mean-spirited.
Do you know what really gets me, yeah?
Go on.
If you'd been drilling oil out the ground,
you'd stick a platform
where you like.
Absolutely right. When he was older, he hated talking about this story because even the people making the film, they realised he didn't really like it because he was bitter. He hated the whole experience.
Yes, I bet he did.
But if you asked him... Being an engineer, if you ask him how he did it,
he'd
talk to you for hours. He loved talking about how
exactly
he did it.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Which is just one of the reasons we salute Giorgio Rosa.
I'm an engineer's son, Gav. It's amazing. They're just, as soon as you, they'll be quite frivolous about everything in life.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get them on any structure or any sort of bit of engineering.
You could be there for hours, yeah.
Have you got a pen, John?
Yeah.
My dad is.
Diagrams.
Have you got a pen, John? But he'll skate over the most interesting things. Like my dad was in, like, did national service in Germany. He was up again on the Iron Curtain. Berlin, all that. Skate through it. No details at all. Talk to him about something that an engineering problem. Like, well, of course, the bridges we were building. John, you got a biro? There we go. Let's salute this anarcho-syndicalist.
Giorgio Rosa.
Giorgio Rosa. Grazie. Grazie mille. The Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing. We salute you. God, I can't believe it blew up.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You'll get the 4 till 7 thang downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Good luck with that one.